I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. On today's Africa Update, President Bush is on the second leg of a five-nation Africa tour, and Kenya's rival political parties agree to review last year's disputed elections. Is an end finally near? For more, we've got Edmund Keller. He's director of the Globalization Research Center on Africa at the University of California, Los Angeles. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So President George W. Bush is in Africa this week, and the trip is designed to highlight the administration's progress in combating disease and promoting good government. And the president has called this tour a mission of mercy. He's spotlighting his work on AIDS and malaria prevention.
It's in our interests that we deal with hopelessness, and it's our moral interest that we help. And this has been a labor of love. I told people we're on a mission of mercy.
How does that play with you?
Well, it seems to me that every president in recent memory wants to create a proper place in history for himself with regard to Africa. Bush seems to want to upstage Clinton in his last days when he made his trip to Africa. And he's going with the right kind of incentives, talking about good governance, poverty alleviation, and also talking about infrastructural development. Tanzania is a beautiful place, but it's very underdeveloped, and it's in the interests of the United States to help build that infrastructure, build the educational system, the road system and whatnot, because then Tanzania can play a larger role in the global economy.
How much influence can the president have, considering that he's only got months, not years, left in office?
On a personal level, he may not have much influence in the larger scheme of things, but anytime you promise a country like Tanzania $700 million for poverty alleviation, you know, infrastructural development, that has a ripple effect. There'll be other donors who want to complement that, and Tanzania will be a beneficiary of it and probably a model for other countries. Ghana's already in that position. And also countries like Guinea-Bissau and, Cape Verde and Benin.
Now, the president has also responded to some criticism in general about whether or not the U.S. has helped with conflict resolution on the continent. How do you rate his ability to broker conflict?
Well, that's a tricky situation because I can understand the concerns of African leaders not wanting to be perceived as a pawn of the U.S. and not wanting to also be bullied by the United States. But at the same time, they have a real problem. They have their own security problems, and they have to figure out a way to deal with those. And if they can somehow maintain their integrity and get the kind of aid they need to beef up their own security apparatus, I think that's a good thing.
So speaking of conflict, let's turn to Kenya. Yesterday, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice was in Kenya to lend the administration support to the former UN chief Kofi Annan's mediation efforts. Washington wants President Mwai Kibaki and opposition leader Raila Odinga to strike a power-sharing agreement, and they hope a deal would end the violence that's plagued the nation since December's disputed presidential election.
There needs to be a governance arrangement that will allow real power-sharing, that will allow a coalition, indeed a grand coalition, so that Kenya can be governed.
So that was Secretary of State Rice. There's a lot of players on the scene right now. Inside Kenya, U.S. officials, international officials. How important is Secretary Rice in that mix?
Well, it shows that the United States is watching the situation and does want to offer a way out. Power sharing is never a perfect solution to anything. It's a short-term solution. From what I understand, they expect that this would be in place for about a year. Then there would be elections. Who's to say who the presidential candidates are going to be then, but at least there will be fresh elections. I think many Kenyans are saying they don't want either of these candidates now, particularly since they're so polarizing. So it'd be interesting to see whether or not either one of them can come out of this with any kind of political cachet.
Well, for the past 3 weeks, Kofi Annan has been trying to resolve the political conflict, and he spoke out about his efforts recently.
We are at the water's edge, and the last difficult and frightening step will be taken. I'm confident that in the interest of Kenya and its people, the parties will show the wisdom, flexibility, and leadership and foresight to conclude this agreement.
Professor, do you think that we're close to a resolution on this?
Not really. As I said, there might be a temporary resolution, and the U.S. has promised some material resources to help resettle people and to repair the damage that was done to property and so forth and so on. But again, that's not the same as building trust among the varying populations, and it'll take a long time before that trust is restored.
Want to move on to another controversy. The U.S. has decided to keep the headquarters of its new Africa Command in Germany. Many African countries have been wary of plans to base the command called AFRICOM on the continent. Liberia was the only African nation that offered to host AFRICOM. So this military command was created last year to unite the responsibilities shared by three other U.S. regional commands. Professor, briefly, tell me about AFRICOM's role on the continent. What was the U.S. desire, and how do you read the tea leaves on there not being an AFRICOM in Africa?
Well, that was always going to be a very tough sell, particularly after the experience of Iraq and Afghanistan with the U.S. African countries just didn't want to be gobbled up and subjugated by the United States and have their own agendas secondary to the U.S.'s. It's hard to figure out how the actual original concept of AFRICOM will play out. It originally was supposed to have a humanitarian and a sort of a nation-building and state-building kind of component, which would be run by State Department civilians and USAID civilians. But if they're not on the continent, it's hard to see how that will work.
Does this mean that the U.S. is giving up on part of a dream for engaging with Africa?
Not at all. I think if the U.S. Has short-term striking capability, military striking capability in various parts of Africa, it can still accomplish some of what it wants to do. Already, even today, the U.S. docks its naval ships in Mombasa in Kenya. It has access to airspace and air bases in Botswana. So it's there. It just won't be physically, the headquarters won't physically be on the continent.
It sounds like what you're saying is that the military capabilities are still going to be there, but the humanitarian side may not. Is that a bad bargain?
Well, in a way it is, because what the United States has to do is to create the impression in Africa that the United States is not only interested in its energy needs, its military needs in terms of fighting international terrorism, but also has the interests of African states at heart. And this whole thrust of poverty alleviation, expanded educational opportunities and all is a good thing, but we need to really follow through and make it work.
Professor, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Edmund Keller is a professor of political science and director of the Globalization Research Center on Africa at UCLA. He joined us at our NPR West studios.